Our second reading from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5, the verses 12 through 21. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs, and be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful, no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God, no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the Spirit, and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. May the scripture readings of this morning speak to all of us and reveal to us that God loves us deeply with love that will never, never let us go. You know, there is a saying, speak when you're angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Apparently, the early Christians in Thessalonica were a very difficult bunch and definitely not easy to get along with. So when we hear how Paul admonishes them, we must conclude that they did not have much respect for their spiritual leaders, and they had many arguments with one another. When evil came their way, they promptly responded with even more evil. Anyone messing with any of them could expect real trouble coming their way. Once again, Paul is holding the Christ light before them. He says, see that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Well, let's be honest, not only the early Christians, but through the ages, also people like us are very quick to anger, quick to take revenge, and quick to respond to injustice. And how do they respond? With even greater injustice. And let us now make this somewhat more personal question. How do you respond when you have really got reason to be angry? How do you respond? Let me tell you about a kind-hearted old man who was running to catch his bus. And just as he seemed to be gaining, the bus driver, with a purposeful smirk, pulled quickly away from the curb, splashing a shower of muddy water all over the old man. Taking out his handkerchief, this kindly old man softly murmured, well, may his soul find peace. And still more softly added, and the sooner the better. It seems so much part of human nature to repay evil with even more evil. Just listen to people arguing. It usually begins with someone saying something nasty to another. And usually the other party reacts with an even nastier remark. And from there on, it becomes like a downward spiral. See, I can be even nastier and meaner than you can. When people look for trouble, we make sure that they get it. Our first reaction is to draw our swords and descend to even lower levels of response. Then we join the wolf packs and we begin to act like wolves. It often sounds as if many of us have doctorates in dealing with those differing from us. So we are teaching them lessons, as we say, we are putting them in their rightful place, no matter how small or how insignificant the difference. We are the ones who set the conditions. We will only restore relations on our very own conditions. Peace, okay. Peace is okay. But then it has to come quickly from two sides, but especially from your side. You see, we take no risks. We do not even give one extra step. We only greet those who extend their hand first. We proudly tell others how short our fuses are. It does not take much for us to let them have it. See, young people say, "Don't you mess with me. You'll get it." If someone wants to be nasty, we are quick to show that we can be even nastier. Differences of opinion so easily become open hostility. And all these examples to say that this is the world we seem to be living in. We live in a world of downward spirals. And the lower people go, the lower we're willing to go, just to see that they get it. Have you heard that Jesus teaches a better way? I want to call it upward spirals. And that means showing love when hate seems to be called for. It happens when you and I learn to put away our swords and to actually turn the other cheek. It happens when you and I refused to be pulled down to a lower level of response. It happens when you and I ascend to higher levels of response, soaring like an eagle, ignoring that which is petty, unnecessary, and unworthy. Apostle Paul begs, and Jesus demonstrates with word and deed, that there is indeed a different, a better, and a more godly way. Jesus never reacts on the same level as his opposition. He takes sides for the losers when no one else seems to care. This Jesus of ours disappears with a degraded tax collector into a sinner's home in Jericho and emerges with a repentant son of Abraham, willing to repay all the wrong that he had ever done. This Jesus of ours comes between a fallen woman and her executioners and sets her free from death, shame, and sin. He refuses to desecrate the temple while others around him are profiting. He teaches 70 times 7 forgiveness for those who trespass against us, while you and I feel that even 7 times is plenty, maybe too much. He tells Peter to put his sword back into his sheath and not to defend him with earthly might. Turning the other cheek. That's not easy. That's not easy. But this is exactly what Jesus teaches us. And he doesn't only teach it, he also does it during his final earthly journey. He turned the other cheek even when darkness came and the agonizing journey to the cross took place. In Potter's film version of Jesus, there is a moment portrayed when Pilate strikes Jesus on the cheek. Sadly, Jesus smiles and offers his other cheek. And he demonstrates the power of his words with his example, with his very life. Jesus chooses to break the chain of hate and revenge and surprises people with his precious acts of love, hope, and forgiveness. You know, while I was wrestling with all this, question came into my heart, is this not really what our faith is all about? Following Jesus and seeking better ways to deal with one another. And Jesus indeed beckons us to follow him and to rise to higher ground and respond in different ways. Jesus took the very first step, and that's the secret. Someone has to take the first step. Someone has to do the unexpected and break this downward spiral of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Love bids us to take the first difficult steps to break through every chain of hate and out of the paralysis brought about by the old way of responding to the world around us. We can overcome alienation by creating a climate for true and radical change. Jesus always seems to find a way to soften the hard lines on the faces of his opponents. And when you and I live our faith, we will not fall in the trap of being sucked into a downward spiral. And we will, for Jesus' sake, take the first difficult step. We will lift the level of every conversation, and we will willfully begin an upward spiral. Living the upward spiral is a complete new level of being, a new level of living. It can and it will change the lives of those who used to live in the shadows, burdened by fear and unable to find real life. Jesus reached out to those who sought to either ignore or destroy his message. And through God's Holy Spirit, Jesus is still reaching out. And once again, in the quiet of this hour, in the presence of God, it is as if His voice is reverberating to us through the ages, challenging you and me to lift up the tenure of every conversation, to lift every argument to a higher and a better level. Christ, our Savior, is the one who resurrects. Christ, our Savior, is the one who calls into your and my graves of sin, where we are buried under loads of guilt and debt, and He calls us back to real life. And as to the people of His times, the Jesus assurance still stands to this very day. What did the Master say? What was the climax of His message? Here are His words. I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in the darkness. I provide plenty and enough of light to live there. Come then. This is the call challenging us, I believe, from the heart of God this morning. Come then. Let us walk. Let us walk into the light that only Christ can give. Amen.